Mr. Speaker, the members of the Iowa delegation have asked for this time to call attention to an event of prime importance in the history of our state. The year 1946 is the centennial year of Iowa. In 1846, 100 years ago, Iowa was admitted as the 29th state of the Union and the first free state to be carved out of the Louisiana Purchase. But it can truly be said that the history of Iowa is not marked by the tumult and disorders that have sometimes characterized frontier life in the United States. Nevertheless, the first century of our existence as a sovereign state has witnessed many events of substantial interest and a vast development of the resources of our Commonwealth. The Iowa delegation today will present some aspects of the life and development during these 100 years, to the end that the House of Representatives and the people of the United States may know of our great state, its accomplishments, and its people. It will be apparent from these discussions that we have a great and, we believe, a justifiable prejudice in favor of Iowa. Its resources and its people are among the finest in our nation, and we yield to no state in our devotion to our common country. We take great pride in the fact that during World War II, Iowa contributed greatly in winning the victory. We furnished our full quota to the armed forces. For many months, we stood first in enlistments in the Navy. Being the foremost agricultural state of the Union, the government naturally looked to us to feed our armies and those of our allies. In spite of lack of machinery and lack of manpower, production was kept at the maximum. We of the Iowa delegation are privileged to represent its people in the House of Representatives. It is with pride that each member of the delegation will present a special phase of Iowa's history and development, its life, its resources, and its people. They will discuss subjects as follows. Iowa's people, Ben F. Jensen, 7th District. Iowa's Agriculture and Resources, Charles B. Hooven, 8th District. Schools and Churches, Carl M. LeCount, 4th District. Transportation, Insurance and Banking, Henry O. Tolley, 2nd District. Organization of Business, Veterans and Labor, James I. Dolliver, 6th District. The Political History of Iowa, Paul Cunningham, 5th District. And Iowa's War Contribution, Tom Martin of the 1st District. Mr. Speaker, I now yield to my colleague, Mr. Jensen.
Mr. Speaker, the state of Iowa produces corn, hogs, cattle, chickens, pearl buttons, washing machines, and many other fine material items. It also produces men and women of sterling character. Both in physical development and in mental attainments, the people of Iowa have reason to be proud of themselves. The first people who inhabited Iowa in historic times were the Iowa and several other tribes of Indians. The Iowa tribe was settled along the central parts of the Des Moines River Valley when the white pioneers came to settle permanently these parts in the 18th century. The first white men in Iowa were the French explorers Marquette and Joliet, who passed down the Mississippi River in 1673. Other Frenchmen came and set up a few fur trading posts. In 1833, the white settlements began in earnest, and by 1838, there were enough white men in the area to organize the Iowa Territory. By the time of the admission of Iowa as a state in 1846, there was a swelling flood of immigration into this area. Most of these early settlers come from Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, and other southern states, and they furnished the early governors of the territory and state. The Pennsylvania Quakers were also prominent among the early settlers of Central Iowa, and at a later time, one of their descendants, Herbert Hoover, born 1874 at West Branch, Iowa, became the president of the United States. The Quakers played a prominent part in the Underground Railroad during pre-Civil War days, and John Brown found a congenial welcome among these folks during short stays in 1857 and 1859. People of German descent are the most numerous in the state. These people began arriving in large numbers after the revolt of 1848 in Europe, settling first along the Mississippi River, then spreading westward. Kingsville, now Council Bluffs, soon became the trading center of the New West. Some of the Germans from Pennsylvania, the so-called Pennsylvania Dutch, formed settlements in Iowa as Amish or Amish Mennonites in Washington and Henry counties. The Irish contingent is next to the Germans in numbers. The Irish first arrived in 1840, driven from home by famine and settled in the large towns. The Scandinavian settlements in Iowa commenced at an early date. They formed compact communities in many of the counties of the northern and central parts of the state, and some places in the southeast and southwest. The Czechs or Bohemians settled in Stillville, Winneshiek County, in the northeastern part of the state, and it was here that Anton Dvorak, the great composer, spent a summer and gathered material for his well-known symphony From the New World. The Dutch first settled in Pella, some 20 miles southeast of Des Moines, in 1847. The Reverend Henry P. Schulte brought over the first contingent of settlers. The Welsh originally settled in mining camps and primarily in Mahaska County near Oskaloosa. They still cling to their singing schools and church conventions. The Jewish population of Iowa is mostly concentrated in the cities, particularly in Des Moines. Jews first appeared in Iowa in 1840 and established themselves in commercial and professional fields. The Italians of Iowa are mainly concentrated in Des Moines. Also, the Italian quarter of that city is in the southern and eastern parts. Approximately one-third of Iowa's 17,000 Negroes live in Des Moines, where they have their own churches, restaurants, amusement centers, religious associations, as well as their own newspaper, the Iowa Bystander. Another more recent element in the population is furnished by the Mexicans, who are concentrated in Des Moines, Davenport, and several other places. There still remain in Iowa a small number of Indians. These are the Sacs and Fox tribes, situated on a tract of 2,300 acres on the bank of the Iowa River, some 40 miles northeast of Des Moines. Many of the existing customs of the Iowa people can be traced to the pioneer period. The 4-H clubs and the Farm Bureau groups also help in fostering social life. Threshing is a cooperative venture. The men gather oats, wheat, barley, or rye in the fields from the threshing machines, while the women gather vegetables and meat for feeding the men at the thrashing dinner. Each fall, Iowa has a state corn husking contest. Crowds of 20,000 people follow the wagons as the huskers, bareheaded and shirtless, work down the rows of corn and send the ears flying through the air against the bangboard. The spirit of the people of Iowa can be seen in their industry, their agriculture, and above all in their schools. Even before the railroads were constructed through the state, many localities had their own small colleges. The people pay high taxes for educational institutions and go into debt to send their children through college. Iowa has furnished the rest of the country with an eminent example of stress on learning and mental development. The combination of Yankee ingenuity with the methodical nature of the industrious, hard-working people, most of them stemming from Northern Europe, who settled there, has been the outstanding value in the building up of Iowa industries such as washing machines, meat packing, cereal processing, mining, woodworking, banking, and insurance operations. Many Iowans have migrated farther west. Large clubs have been organized in some of our far western cities, the largest club of its kind being in Long Beach, California, composed exclusively of Iowans. But wherever they go, these immigrants carry the memory of Iowa landscape and environment, the influence of the prairie soil, and their Christian American patriotism is reflected in their artistic and literary expression, be it in their novels, their poems, their paintings, or their daily contacts with their fellow man.
Mr. Speaker, I yield to Mr. Hooven.
Mr. Speaker, to read the history of Iowa is to trace the growth of its agriculture, for herein lies its greatest wealth, its people's heritage. No single civilized area in the world of comparable size has such consistently rich land as Iowa. Of its total area of 56,147 square miles, 55,586 square miles is land area, and of this, 99% is relatively fine soil. In 1943, a year of record production in total tonnage of crops, in numbers of livestock raised, in milk produced, egg products, and other farm items, the total money value of Iowa's crops and livestock reached $1,270,399,000. Iowa soil produces more wealth each year than all the gold mines of the world. The value of Iowa farmland income for 1 year is more than twice as great as the value of gold produced in Alaska since gold was discovered. 1/4 of all the number one fine land in the United States is in Iowa, and 3/4 of it is within a 250-mile radius of Iowa. 1/10 of all the food produced in the United States is produced in Iowa, and the per capita income of $4,322 is the highest in the world. Of the annual income in the state, $1.5 billion are derived directly from agriculture. Iowa ranks first in agricultural products produced per capita, first in cash farm income, first in cattle value, first in corn production, first in egg production, first in grade A land, first in grain crop production, first in hog production, first in horse numbers, first in improved farmland percentage, first in livestock and poultry value, first in marketing of grain-fed cattle, first in oats production, first in poultry numbers, first in red clover seed production, and first in timothy seed production. The revolutionary change to hybrid corn is now nearly complete in Iowa. While only 0.7% of Iowa acreage was in hybrid in 1933, by 1944, the percentage had risen to 99.5%. Estimates for the five-year period, 1939-43, show that the relatively short hybrid increased the farmer's income by nearly $500 million. Iowa also produces large quantities of legumes, including alfalfa, clover, and soybeans, and raises domestic supplies of many smaller crops. At the present moment, there is a world shortage of fats and animal protein foods. These foods are urgently needed now to balance the vegetable diets of European people. They are needed to put health, vigor, and hope into the people of war-torn countries. They are also needed for the health and well-being of our people at home. What does this mean to Iowa agriculture? It, of course, means that Iowa farmers produce the products now most needed to improve nutrition. That is, milk, meat, fats, and eggs. Iowa farmers are the largest and most efficient producers of these products. Iowa farmers, therefore, have the best and most important food products in the world to sell. They have products which people want, products which people need for good nutrition. What about industrial opportunities in Iowa? In agriculture, there is the greatest source of raw material in the world. There are over 1 billion tons per year of material awaiting industrial use, such as corn stalks, oat hulls, straw, and so forth.